I've titled this message, Be Strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. And as I give you that title, many of your minds rush to Ephesians 6 and verse 10, where it says, where Paul says to the Ephesians, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. But this message is not about the armor of God. Aren't you glad? How many messages have you heard about the armor of God? You know about the armor of God. That's great. And we'll probably teach on the armor of God sometime again in the future. We need to. But this message is not about the armor of God. I've been reading through the Old Testament. Love the books of 1st and 2nd Chronicles and what some of these characters go through and have to teach us. So I want to look at a few of the kings. Amen. We are called as kings and priests. Amen. We've been made kings and priests through belief on Jesus Christ. And so when we look at the Old Testament, we can take and have some spiritual applications to those kings and those priests as we are now the New Testament priesthood and kings of the Lord. Let's pray and we'll dig into this word. Father, we thank you right now for your word. Thank you for your truth. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you want to speak to each and every one of us as the word of God is broken. And so, Lord, help us to hear, Holy Spirit, each person on their level, what you are saying to them, what you are speaking specifically to them, have them to take away from this time, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Be strong in the Lord. God wants his people to be strong. Can I get an amen? God wants his people to be strong. In what way? In every way. Every way. Spiritually, he wants us to be strong. Mentally, he wants us to be strong. Come on. In other words, he wants us to use our mental capabilities. Some people say, I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. Someone else says, you can't afford to give me a piece of your mind. You need every bit you can get. Keep it to yourself. But he wants us to be strong mentally, right? He wants us to be strong physically. That's why somebody has a New Year's resolution already planned and mapped out. Maybe not. No. He wants us to be strong physically. He wants us to be strong financially. Can I get an amen? I got some laughter. I don't have any amens yet. He wants us to be strong financially. He wants us to be strong relationally. God wants us to be strong. I want to read a few scriptures. Let me read this definition first. Then I'll read a few scriptures because when it comes to this, we'll see that strength is mentioned so many times in the scriptures, but I love this definition. Strong, physically powerful, capable of exerting great physical force. You got anybody like that here? Oh, come on, don't be shy. Oh, come on, I know some of you think, I knew I would have some. Is anyone else? You are capable of exerting great physical force. All of us have a measure of strength. It goes on and says, marked by great physical power. We notice that because this is a secular definition of strength, that everything has to do with physical first. But it also means in good or sound health. In good or sound health. Robust. Okay? So as to have a strong voice as opposed to a weak voice. Something that is robust, okay? It goes on, says economically or financially sound or thriving. How many of you believe that God would have you to be economically and financially sound? Amen. Listen, that does not mean that you're rich. That doesn't mean that you're making more money than everybody else. But what it could mean, I believe, and does mean, is that to be economically and financially sound means you don't spend more than you make. Can I get an amen? Thank you. Thank you. Oh, we're finally getting some response here. Thank you. Okay. So, it also means this, having force of character, will, morality, or intelligence, having or showing ability or achievement in a specified field, being strong. Okay. Capable of the effective exercise of authority. Capable of the effective exercise of authority. When we think about things like that, we think about governments in Afghanistan and Iraq, and you think about governments that cannot enforce the law. They have no ability because the Taliban or Al-Qaeda just runs, and they just kill people at will. You know, there's no, the government is weak, in other words, capable of withstanding force or wear, solid, tough, or firm, having great binding strength, not easily captured or defeated, not easily, how you like this, not easily upset, resistant to harmful or unpleasant influences. I like that. Not easily upset, resistant to harmful or unpleasant influences. God wants his people to be strong. That is a biblical imperative. That is Bible, all right? It also means having force or rapidity of motion, persuasive, effective, and cogent, forceful and pointed, emphatic, forthright and explicit, often offensively so. I like that. That if it's strong, you know, if you're going to be a strong Christian, guess what? If you're going to be a strong Christian, you're going to be offensive to some people. That's just the way it is, right? If you are strong in your, you ever hear someone say of someone, man, that person sure is opinionated. You know, when you ask them their opinion, guess what they do? They give you their opinion. And they're not mealy-mouthed about it. They're not, well, you know, I'm sorry, but they're not that type. No, you ask me, you're going to get it. And here it is, right? Extreme and drastic, having force of conviction or feeling, uncompromising. I like that definition. It also says intense in degree or quality, having an intense or offensive effect on the senses, clear and loud. Strong, clear, and loud. I think about that. I think about praying. I think about the worship. I think about how we are to honor God. When he said in Psalm 150, upon the loud sounding cymbals, do it loud. Make it strong, right? Readily noticeable, remarkable, readily, detected or received, having a high concentration of an essential or active ingredient. I like that. Well, I want to just read some scriptures behind this definition, just out of the book of Psalms, because you know David has so much to say. So let me start with Psalm 18, verse 1, where David says this, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. Now, what I like so much about this particular verse, I'm actually going to turn to it. What I like so much about this is that David goes on and he uses all of these adjectives to describe God. He says, my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. In verse 2, he says again, my strength in whom I will trust. He goes on and says, my shield and my horn, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. But the first one he used was the Lord, my strength. God wants his people to be strong. By referring to God as his strength, David was implying something about himself. If God is his strength, then he without God is weak. He without God is weak. That's a pretty good description of me. Come on. Can I go a little bit further and say that's a pretty good description of you? That without God, Jesus said, without me, you can do no thing, right? Nothing. Psalm 18, verse 32 says, It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. The strength we have comes from the Lord. The strength we have comes from the Lord. Now, beloved, after a little while later, we're going to understand why it is so very important for you to know that the strength that you have, that it comes from God. It is very, very important that you and I know that the strength we have comes from God, right? Psalm 18, he goes on, in verse 39 reads, for you have armed me with strength for the battle. You have armed me with strength. Have you ever quoted that over? Been thinking about that all. When you get up and get ready to go to battle, because how many of you know every day you step into warfare? Every day you wake up and warfare is going on all around you. And your mind is assaulted, and your everything about this, about our existence here, we are in warfare. And there's a battle going on. David says that you have armed me with strength for the battle. In other words, God, you've already given me what I need to win. You've given me what I need to overcome. You've given me the strength. And I always say to myself, son, whenever you fail, it isn't because you were overcome. It's because you just gave up. Because God has already armed you with strength for the battle. David said, God teaches my arms to war, my fingers to fight. Come on, that's what David said about his God. All right? Now, in Psalm 27, verse 1, we know the scripture so well. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? This is David said that the Lord was the strength of his life. We're living in America, where I'm told that you pull yourself up by your bootstraps, and you are a self-made man. And when you overcome and you are successful and excel, people say, I did it. I was an orphan. I came from whatever country. My parents were immigrants, and we didn't have anything. And lo and behold, next thing you're CEO of Yahoo or what have you, and I did it all by myself. Come on, church. Now, that may be the way you think about it. That may be the way somebody else thinks. But for everybody sitting in here, we know better. Come on. We know better. Psalm 21:13 says, be exalted, O Lord, in your own strength. We will sing and praise your power. Be exalted, O Lord, in your own strength. We will sing and praise your power. When we sing and praise God for his power and strength, we're lifting up the source of our own power and strength, which is the reason why we come out of a time of praise and worship so full of power and strength. Believe it or not, that is the case. Psalm 28, verses 7 and 8 says this, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him. The Lord is their strength. He is the saving refuge of his anointed. God wants you and I to be strong. It is his will. Psalm 29:11 says, the Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will give strength to his people. Do you ever feel weak? You ever feel like you have a decision to make? You ever feel like you got to go to work and deal with something you don't want to deal with? We all been there. Every one of us. You've been to school. You got to go to school and deal with a teacher or deal with a classmate. You don't want to deal with it. You got to go to work, and your boss is pressuring you to do something you know is wrong. You don't want to do. There's someone bothering you. You know you need to confront them, but you don't want to. Psalm 29 says, the Lord will give strength to his people. And so when we read that, we say, oh, God, give me strength. God strengthened me to do what's right. God strengthened me not to be weak and not to fade back, because you're not that way. Psalm 31:4, pull me out of the net which they have secretly laid for me, for you are my strength. Pull me out of the net which they have secretly laid for me, for you are my strength. What's wrong, David? You can't get out yourself? That's right. I can't get out of myself. Anybody ever been in a situation you can't get out of? So we, like David said, Lord, pull me out of the net which they have secretly laid for me. Help me, Father. That's who he is. That's what he'll do. Psalm 33:16. No king is saved by the multitude of an army. Listen, America. Huh? No king is saved by the multitude of an army. A mighty man is not delivered by great strength. Mm-mm. Psalm 37:39. But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. Huh? Psalm 38:10, my heart pants, my strength fails me. As for the light of my eyes, it has also gone from me. I put that in there because we all know what it means to have our strength fail. Amen. Physically speaking, now us men, you know, when we young, boy, come on now. What? We all that and a, not a bag of chips, a store. We all that and more. Because we have to get it done. And we, you always tell my son, God made men strong to help and deliver females, not to beat up on them, but to you protect your sister, you protect your mother, because God made a man strong for a reason, right? And so we men, but when you get older, you know what it is to have your strength fail. Well, I'm not going to say, because my strength has not failed. Amen. You don't think so? Try me out. Your strength doesn't fail, but it does, you know, kind of eases up a little bit, you know, kind of like steps back, you know. So where on the one hand we have, in this young man over here, we have one in the prime of his strength. I mean, we're talking, yes. You know, when he walks in the room, the ladies look around and go, whoa, my goodness, oh, God. Yeah, he's in the prime. And on this side of the sanctuary, on this side, excluding a couple, we have some brothers who know what it means to be kind of stepping back a little bit. Yes. Aren't you glad heaven is on its way? Listen, I'm going to tell you this. Don't judge me now. You just wait till we get to glory. Look me up when we get to glory. Amen. Basking in the strength of the Lord. Amen. Psalm 46 and verse 1, we all know it very well. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Amen. A very present help. God is our refuge and our strength. You'd be surprised how much you and I rely on the strength of God. When I began to study and just look at this, and I began to look through the scriptures, and I began to realize how much I depend on the strength of God. And I thought to myself, dear God, he said, that's right. Yeah, that's how much you depend on. That's how much you need me. Beloved, we need to get it right. See, the strength that we have, we acquire from him through his grace. You see, so David said in Psalm 46 and 1, God is our refuge and our strength. He knew that he had no strength of his own. And after what David had gone through, running from Saul, Saul's the king. Saul has all kind of people that can kill you. He has assassins. He has raiders. He has groups that go out and search for you. Went to his bed, looked for him, and was going to stab him right in the bed. But so for his wife had hit him and told him to go on. I mean, and David knew that the only way I got away from Saul, the only way I made it through was because of God, was because of his strength. The only way that I slung that rock hard enough to kill Goliath was that when I was slinging it, the hand of God took that rock and pushed it. And the strength of God drove that rock into the head of that giant. Amen. And he defeated that giant. Psalm 57 and 52 and 7. Here is a man who did not make God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches. My God. Huh? Psalm 52, 7, here is the man who did not make God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. And so riches is not a place to place our trust. It's not a place to put our trust. Because riches, the Bible says, make themselves wings and fly away. Here today, gone tomorrow, right? Psalm 59 and 9, I will wait for you, O you his strength, for God is my defense. Psalm 62 and 7, in God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. I'm only in the book of Psalms, church. I'm only dealing with one word, strength. And I could go on and on. Psalm 68, 28, for your God has commanded your strength. Oh, I like that. For your God has commanded your strength. Strengthen, O God, what you have done for us. God is the one who strengthens us. He's the one who would have us to be strong. First Chronicles chapter 11 and verse 10. I'm going to change gears a little bit and deal with how God, it was the will of God for kingdoms to be made strong. The kingdom of David, we all know that God prophesied through Samuel that David would be king, use him to anoint him as king. And we all know what David went through to become king. And he reigned 7 years in Hebron over Judah. And then after sometime, all of Israel came to make him king, and he reigned over Israel 33 years for a total of 40 years. But in 1 Chronicles 11, 10, it says this, now these were the heads of the mighty men whom David had, who strengthened themselves with him in his kingdom, with all Israel to make him king, according to the word of the Lord concerning Israel. It was the will of God for David and his kingdom to be strengthened and to be made strong. It is the will of God for us to be strong in the kingdom of God. Okay? 2 Chronicles 1:1 now says, now Solomon, speaking of the kingdom of Solomon now Solomon the son of David was strengthened in his kingdom, and the Lord his God was with him and exalted him exceedingly. Solomon the son of David was strengthened. He was strengthened by God in his kingdom. How do we know this? Because it says the Lord his God was with him and exalted him exceedingly. So again, it's the will of God for us to be strong. 2 Chronicles chapter 11 goes on with King Solomon's son. Many of you may know his name to be Rehoboam. And this, I could say a lot about the transition from David to Solomon and Solomon to Rehoboam, but time will not permit that. But 2 Chronicles 11, 17 says, so they strengthened the kingdom of Judah and made Rehoboam the son of Solomon strong for 3 years because they walked in the way of David and Solomon for 3 years. And so in this particular passage of scripture, you have to get what's going on. When Solomon was king, he had a young man named Jeroboam who was very industrious. And because God gave a word where God was going to make Jeroboam king, and he split the kingdom off. Two tribes went for the house of David, Judah and Benjamin. But the other 10 tribes, Jeroboam reigned over. He installed golden calves, one in Dan, one in Beersheba, had the people worshiping idols, so forth and so on. And Rehoboam, Solomon's son, was king over Benjamin and Judah. So after this big split, the scripture says that the Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, his kingdom was made strong for 3 years, and the reason why it was made strong was because they walked in the way of David and Solomon for 3 years. They walked in the way of David and Solomon for 3 years. So once we're made strong, we must remember why the Lord made us strong. And I can make this into a year-long series, but I decided not to. So I'm actually trying to do a lot in one segment. We'll see about next year. But what I want to get after now, we know it's the will of God for us to be strong. But as I'm reading through my Bible, and you're probably reading through your Bible, I'm always stumped when I come to 2 Chronicles. Because there's something that happens to these people in the Old Testament. Happens in the New, happens today too. And it's this. It's the will of God for us to be strong. God comes and he makes us strong. But something happens when we get strong. You ever notice that? And so I told my wife the other day, I said, y'all know who RG3 is, right? Everybody know who RG3 is? Most people? Okay. Sugar, you said he's a Christian. It says he's a Christian. Is that the case? Okay. You read it later. Now, okay. Now, I'm praying for this young man. Is anybody? Because what happens is, and we not only with Christians, we see this with anybody. You see a young person rising out of the, you know, out of in obscurity, rising to prominence and coming to a place of fame, maybe some fortune or what have you. And as they're rising, you know, they come out of weakness and they rise to a position in a place of strength. But when you get to that place, beloved, listen, it's the will of God for, you know, for us to be strong. But yet, it's not the will of God for everybody to be famous. Hello. It's not the will of God for everybody. Listen, you have to be made for that. You better be. God has better have worked something in you for that, because if not, it will overtake you. It will ruin you. And when it's done, it'll kick you to the curb, and people will forever, they will forget you have ever existed. So I said, I'm praying for RG3 because I don't want to see the boys explode. I don't want to see his life just shipwreck. Just a train hit him, and it's like, who's RG3? Do you remember what happened to him? Yeah, he was great until, you know, kind of like what happened. You know, Tiger was a tiger, and that boy ruled. I mean, he ruled until something happened to you, and from that point you can mark it. Never been the same since. Never been the same since. Now, I don't know if we'll ever get back, but I tell you, it ain't looking good. It's just not looking good. You look at others. You look at Lance Armstrong. I hate even mention it, but that poor young man who, you know, his name has strong in it. You know, Armstrong. How strong you want to be? Armstrong. Not Army strong. I want to be Armstrong. And yet, built upon a foundation of lies, which just comes tumbling down. So what I want to look at, now we know it's the will of God for us to be strong. You ask anybody, would you like to be strong? I don't know anybody who would say, no, I'd rather be weak. Now, I know everybody would say, yes, I want to be. Do you want to be a strong worship leader, brother? Do you want to be a strong preacher? Do you want to be a strong prayer intercessor? Do you want to be a strong soccer player? Do you want to be a strong football player? Yes, everyone would say. But, okay, so it says he was made strong for 3 years. And remembering why the Lord makes us strong is very important. We were singing about it. It's very simple. You and I are made strong for his purpose and glory, and not our own purpose and glory, right? Now, I'm going to use Lance Armstrong as an example. He wasn't Christian or anything. But let's say he didn't do the drugs. You have to know that minus the drugs, that boy had ability, had strength, had the wherewithal to compete with the world's best in cycling. It's just that he wasn't strong enough in his mind and went to, use other means to make sure he had an advantage. We know that those means are unlawful, right? We don't want to give ourselves to that. So now, we can't glorify God if we're doing something illegal in trying to promote ourselves. We know that God cannot honor that, right? So here in this particular scripture, it says that Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, was made strong for 3 years because they walked in the way of David and Solomon for 3 years. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 1, it says this. Now it came to pass, when Rehoboam had established the kingdom and had strengthened himself. So get the picture. The kingdom's established. Rehoboam's king, son of Solomon, he's ruling over Judah, Benjamin, maybe Ephraim and Manasseh, some other tribes, some people from there have come into there. Now all the Levites have left Israel, all those who love the Lord. They left Israel and came to Judah. So all the priests and the Levites, those who were hot for God, they left and came with you. So Rehoboam has all these people now. And it says this, that when he had strengthened himself, that he forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel with him. In other words, when Rehoboam got strong, it was at that time that he forsook, which means to renounce, to throw off, to resist. He forsook. He left completely alone. He forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel with him and began to serve idols. And so as you read that, you wonder, you say, well, we just laid the foundation. It's God's will for us to be strong. Okay? But once you get strong, what is it that causes a person to forsake the law of the Lord? What is it that causes a person to say, you know, I'm going to leave. You ever heard the story that brought about this line, dance with the one that brung you? Anyone ever heard that story? Dance with the one that brung you? Well, I'm not a good storyteller. I'm not a good, you know, so I can't say it the way some other of my brothers can say it. But essentially, the story goes like this. Girl was invited to go to a dance. Young girl, you know, like these young ladies here. Invited to go to a dance by a young boy. She goes to the dance, and she gets there. The young man who invited her, he's not all that much of a dancer, but she likes to dance. And when she gets there, all these other boys come up and say, come on and dance. And they love to dance and can really break it down, if you know what I mean. And so she is torn between should she dance with them or should she stay with her partner. And her daddy, before she left, said, remember this, sugar, when you get there, dance with the one that brung you. In other words, stay true to the date. Stay true to the person that brought you there. Okay? Don't leave just because there's a temptation, because there's, you know, you came with him, dance with him. Don't dance with all the other guys at the party. Now, that went over like a lead balloon, I know. But you dance with the one that brought you. And so I say this, in light of this story, Rehoboam didn't dance with the one that brought him. The way he got strong was by walking with God. But once he got strong, he left the ways of the Lord. Very puzzling, especially in light of what his father wrote. Solomon wrote in Proverbs 10:29, says this, the way of the Lord is strength to the upright. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright. In other words, when you and I walk with God, every step we take, stronger, stronger. Listen, when you walk with God, every step you take, the way that you walk in is providing strength for you. Every step you take in God is providing strength of character, strength spiritually. The way that the Lord has mapped out for you and I to walk with him provides strength for you and I versus the way of the world. Because walking in the world, my Lord, will zap you of your strength. Hey, I got a witness. I know, even if you don't say amen, I know I got a witness in everybody in here. Amen. So, why does he forsake God's law? We are not told, but we do know that strength provides, physical strength in particular, military strength provides one with a false sense of security. You know, you can, when you are big and strong, we saw that happen with David and Goliath. Goliath thought, what are they doing sending me out here, a boy with sticks? He says, who are you? And he defied him by his gods. And he just talked down to David. Why? Because he was this big seasoned warrior. And he's I don't know how many times bigger than David. He just said, I'm going to trash you, David. What was he taking confidence in? How big he was. But that's no guarantee of strength. That's no guarantee of success, right? So we are not told why Rehoboam left the Lord, but we remember this, that as that strength can give you a false sense of security, not only in Rehoboam, but also we remember Samson. Remember Samson? Interesting, because Samson, what was so interesting about Samson is this, And we find ourselves a whole lot of times in the same case. Samson's strength came from God. Samson's strength was sustained by God. So you would think that a person who got their strength from God, who was actively walking and being sustained by the strength of God, would not forget God. But Samson, and this is why we're looking at this, because I believe God wants to make us strong. I believe God wants us to be strong in every way in 2013, and I'm not doing a prophetic word for 2013. I'm just telling you what the word makes very clear, that God wants you and I strong. But I'm also looking at the fact that these Old Testament saints, they got strong. But in the midst of their strength, all of a sudden, it's like they had spiritual amnesia. And so Samson, who had a vow of a Nazarite, if you need to know where the vow of a Nazarite is, go look at Numbers chapter 6. They were not to drink wine, they were not to touch a dead body, and they were to let their hair grow as an offering to the Lord. At the end of that vow, they would cut that hair off, and it would be offered up to the Lord in a sacrifice. That's why it was so important that when he married his first wife, they had a party. At the party, there's wine, strike one, where he would have taken wine as a vow of a Nazarite. You do not take wine. When he touched the carcass of a lion, strike two, he touched a dead body. He touched the dead carcass. He broke another vow of the Nazarite. And then when his hair was cut off, strike three, he broke the vow again, and he lost his strength. So, God help us when he makes us strong. Because he makes us strong for a reason. He makes us strong for a reason. So, Rehoboam forsakes the law of the Lord. When you are strong, you have been benefited from God's favor and become a target for the tempter. When you and I are strong, we are benefited by God's favor. That's how we got strong, because we didn't get strong all by ourselves. Amen? Right? No, we didn't get strong all by ourselves. That comes from God's favor. And at the same time, we become a target for the tempter. 2 Chronicles 21:4. The son of Hezekiah, many of you will remember Hezekiah. He was one of the greatest kings that ever ruled Israel. He served the Lord with all of his heart. And yet his son, Jehoram, it says in 2 Chronicles 21:4, that when his kingdom was established, now when Jehoram was established over the kingdom of his father, he strengthened himself and killed all his brothers with the sword, and also others of the princes of Israel. Now you wonder, the son of Hezekiah, a good king, a king who loved God and treated people fairly, when he dies, Jehoram kills all of his brothers, just murders them. And you say, but Jehoram, you weren't strengthened to leave the law of the Lord and do this to your brethren, okay? So that was Jehoram. One other king, King Uzziah. All of us know this king. That's where Isaiah said in Isaiah 6:1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, right? That King Uzziah. This king God was working with. In 2 Chronicles 26:5, it says, he, King Uzziah, sought the Lord in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding of the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Verses 7 and 8 of 2 Chronicles 26 reads, God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians who lived in Gerbaal and against the Midianites. Also the Ammonites brought tribute to Uzziah. His fame spread as far as the entrance of Egypt, for he became exceedingly strong. I believe that the Lord wants to make you and I exceedingly strong. Okay? Does everyone bear witness with that? I mean, that is the will of God for my life and your life. And I'm getting after this because I wanna look at what is good, but I also wanna look at what we may have to, you know, be wary of. You know, just keep in mind that if God makes us strong, that's great. But also know this, that there's a tempter around, and that there are things that we must be aware of, because this was not something that happened overnight in the life of Uzziah. This was something, the scripture says, that he was helped until he became exceedingly strong. It was something that was gradual. You know, and when the enemy tempts you, it's not going to be something that he's going to jump out, do this and you will fail and you will wreck everything God has done for you. It's not going to be that way. No, no, you're going along and you're strong and you're getting stronger and stronger and stronger. So it is the will of God for his people to be strong in the kingdom. I wrote down in a parenthesis with one exception, and that was Paul. And I don't know if we'll get, we probably won't go there today, 2 Corinthians 12 and 9, where Paul says that when he was weak, it was then actually he was strong. That's something different. We won't deal with that as yet. So remember that there's a reason why God makes us strong. It's for his glory and not ours. As we see in the life of this Judean king, Uzziah. Then in 2 Chronicles 26:15, it reads this. And he made devices in Jerusalem, invented by skillful men to be on the towers and the corners to shoot arrows and large stones. So his fame spread far and wide, for he was marvelously helped till he became strong. And so this man had inventors who would actually make these engines that would hurl large rocks at the enemy. Had things that no one had ever created before, but God gave this king the ingenuity and men around him to be able to create these things. And it says that he was so marvelously helped till he became strong. But then the next verse is the verse that, you know, I'm all for being strong. I'm all for the will of God for making me strong. But when you read this, you have to climb inside of the scripture. I mean, you can't just read it as a story from out way back in the great story. No. You have to say when James became strong, okay, when Sherita became strong, when Doug became strong, you gotta get in there, you gotta ask yourself, you gotta ask the Holy Ghost, what happened, Lord? My goodness. And so it says here in verse 16, 2 Chronicles 26:16, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up. Can I say something? When you are strong, there is a temptation for you to get lifted up over what God has done in your life. Because he wasn't the one who made himself strong. It was God working in his life. Think about that for a second, that what can be the will of God for your life can actually, now, it's not bad for you, but if your heart views it wrong, that can be bad for you. It's almost like, look at what I did. Look at what you did. Can we back up a little bit? No, I don't recall, there are some people, I'm still not over Whitney Houston's death. That's something that happened in 2012. I'm still not over that because I don't know about anybody else, but for me, that one voice I never heard anybody sing and bring a song. I never heard it. It's just remarkable. Just to me, it just still boggles my mind to have a gift like that and just incredible. Just beyond, I mean, it's God, you know it's God all the way. That's just God did that. You didn't do that. God did that. And yet the tempter comes. And yet the tempter would place all kinds of things in your way to take down what God is doing, to take down what God has done. And so it says this, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord, his God, by entering the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. And so Uzziah wanted to do something that only priests could do. Never mind he was the king. See, if we lose sight of the grace that God has given us and begin to covet somebody else's grace, we're in trouble. Hello? We are in trouble. That's what the king did. It's what we do once we're strong. That's the key. His outward condition of military strength affected the inward condition of his heart to his downfall. He was lifted up. And, you know, lift it up, if you research that in the Bible, it's used for good, but also for bad when it happens to a person. It happened to King Hezekiah in 2 Chronicles 32, 24, it reads this way, but Hezekiah did not repay according to the favor shown him, for his heart was lifted up. Remember when Hezekiah was healed? He told the ambassadors, look at all my gold, silver, all of this stuff. He never said one time, the God of Israel looked down on me when I was dying, and he healed me, and he saved me, and he raised me up. And I'm here to tell you that there's a God in Israel. Hezekiah didn't do that. It'd be the equivalent to us having terminal cancer, God healing us and raising us up, and us going out and saying, look at my Lexus. Look at my house. Isn't it beautiful? Are you serious? Come on. That would be the equivalent of what Hezekiah did. And it said that his heart was lifted up, therefore wrath was looming over him and over Judah and Jerusalem. Then Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart. It tells you what it was. It's the pride of his heart. You know, I said it before, but listen, God can do something in our life, and then we become prideful over it, almost like I did it. Look at what God, it was like the lady who, Joyce Meyer said that God had given this woman grace to pray 4 hours a day. And she was getting up and praying for 4 hours a day. Listen, beloved, if you get up and pray 4 hours a day, I'm going to tell you right now, that's not you. Okay? That is not you. Why we know that? Because flesh don't like to pray. I'm using my ghetto speech now. Flesh does not, let me be more proper, flesh does not like to pray. And so this woman was praying for 4 hours a day. So she decided she was going to go on vacation. And she decided prayer was going to go on vacation too. So while she was on prayer, she stopped praying for 4 hours a day. Why did she stop? Because she took for granted that it was going to be there when she got back. So when she got off vacation, she went back to her prayer closet, went in to pray, and could only pray for about 20 minutes. And when she could only pray for 20 minutes, she broke down into tears. She got to crying before the Lord, so much so she got on the phone line, called Joyce Meyer's ministry, and I think she actually got through to Joyce. They put her through to Joyce. And she said, oh, my God. She said, I had this anointing. I was praying for 4 hours a day, and I don't know. I went on vacation, and she said, well, you know how Joyce is. You know how compassionate Joyce is. Joyce said, well, what did you do? And she said, well, I just stopped praying. She said, you mean you went on vacation? I just told the Lord, that's it. I'll see you when I get back. And she said, well, sister, all you can do is ask God to forgive you and go on. But that four-hour prayer anointing was gone. The woman never saw it again. Why? It wasn't yours to begin with. You don't turn it on and turn it off. Sometimes we can take what God's doing in our life and get lifted up over it, get exalted about it. We don't want to do that. So when God makes you and I strong this year, in whatever capacity, in whatever degree he does, listen, don't forget that he's the one who's actually made us strong. And let us remain humble. That's what I'm trying to say. I pray we get it. Listen at Isaiah 2, 12 through 18, and listen at what this talks about. It says, for the day of the Lord of hosts shall come upon everything that is proud and lofty. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall come upon everything that is proud and lofty, upon everything lifted up. Remember, Hezekiah was lifted up. Uzziah's heart was lifted up. Come on, my heart has been lifted up before. And I tell you what, God is a great humbler. If you have any problems with pride and being lifted up, just go to him. I tell you, he'll bring you low. Oh, he can take you from the highest. He can put you in the dust. He can put you sucking swamp water. I mean, he can bring you down. He can break you down. Listen to one who's been lifted up. Oh, he can break you down. Listen, upon everything, that means nothing's left out. Upon everything lifted up, it shall be brought low. Upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, upon all the oaks of Bashan, upon all the high mountains, upon all the hills that are lifted up, upon every high tower, upon every fortified wall, upon all the ships of Tarshish, upon all the beautiful slopes, the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, the haughtiness of men shall be brought low, the Lord alone will be exalted in that day. That's what the scripture says. My God. So when we're lifted up, he's able to bring us low. And that's what happened to King Uzziah, was that he was, and I see Christian leaders all around the globe, and Google, I keep up with people, and it's astounding to see our Christian leaders who are being brought down. I mean, it's astounding. And it hurts your heart to see somebody falling, just boom, 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 just falling. Why? Because we get lifted up and we think we did it. One strong, a person may be tempted to think that one can do anything they want. That's what lifted up means. It's almost like I'm above the law. See, that's what Hezekiah did. That's what Uzziah did. He felt, I'm above the law. Even though I'm a king, I can still go in and offer incense. No, the only priest can do that. You need to humble yourself and get under the law of God. Don't do this, Uzziah, because you're exalting yourself above the law of God. That adds a new light to the way some people would take Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. No, yeah, Paul was talking about being abased and being abound. Paul says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. They're not good for me. So it is God's grace that strengthens us, and our response to that grace that determines continued strengthening. A proper estimation of God's grace given is the key to a proper response and continued strength. If Hezekiah would have only recognized that it was God's grace, if Uzziah would have only recognized it was God's grace, he would have recognized continued strengthening. If Samson would have only remembered that this is God's strength, it is God's grace that made me strong. I can't have this chick cut my hair off. Come on. I can't have this chick do what she's about to do to me. Why? Because I recognize this is not my strength. It's God's grace, so I must honor God with what God has given me. I must honor God with what God has given me, and he would have never come down. He would have never come down. So a proper estimation of God's grace given is the key to a proper response and continued strength. We lose God's strength when lifted up and act outside of his revealed will for our lives. Father, help us. Let's stand to our feet. Father, would you help us today? Not only this day, but this coming year. Lord, I believe you want all of us to be strong. I believe right now that there's a strengthening work going on. Lord, you're rearranging. You're changing some things in every area of our lives, financially, relationally, oh my God, spiritually and physically, oh God. Lord, mentally, you are changing things, oh God, so that each and every one of us could be strong, my God, because it is your will for us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. But my Lord, I pray that when you do this work, that when you make us strong, Father, we would remember that it is your grace. It is your doing. It is your hand. My Father, and I would pray you would give us grace to point everyone, Lord, who looks at us and thinks that we've done something great, that we would point everyone to the Lord Jesus Christ, that we would glow and shine. Lord, that we would brag on our God, that we would make mention that your name is exalted, that we would tell everyone that it's God in his goodness, it is God in his great kindness toward me. Lord, that we would in no way be lifted up. We would in no way want to take credit for what it is you are doing. Father, we pray, Lord, that our lives would bring you glory all this year long. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you real good.